and welcome to Life in the Rabbit Hole, the Caneo Parent Pod. I'm Lori Carice, a fellow parent living in the Caneo Valley and your host. Thank you for tuning in. For parent pod tales, community matters, and social topics, which include plenty of wellness content. Parenting is not a one-size-fits-all approach. It's as difficult as much as it's rewarding, and we've all heard from the beginning of this journey, it takes a village. So join us as we connect through Life in the Rabbit Hole. For everyone, everywhere. This episode is brought to you by Logix Federal Credit Union.
Seems like you can't change the channel these days without another celebrity pitching you a credit card, mortgage company, or big bank. We don't have any celebrities talking about us, but we do have stars. Thousands of them. From our fans on Yelp, Google, and Facebook. And we didn't have to pay them millions of dollars. We just had to provide better rates and terrific service over and over and over again. So while celebrities think you should try one more mega bank, we encourage you to listen to the stars that matter. They're just a search away. Logix. Smarter banking.
Logix Smarter Banking is a registered trademark of Logix Federal Credit Union, federally insured by NCUA. Logix is an equal housing lender, NMLS ID 503781. Logix membership required.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Life in the Rabbit Hole. I'm your host, Lori Carice. Today's guest is Garetti Ortiz, Development Manager for the Special Olympics, Ventura County Community, who's here to talk about the organization, along with the shifts that have taken place with operations and programming due to COVID-19. So let's talk to her about before, during, and after the path of COVID-19. Welcome, Garetti.
Good morning. Thank you for having me, Lori.
Thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate it. I'm excited to hear a little bit about your journey. So tell me what led you down the path to working with the Southern California Special Olympics.
Well, I've been a volunteer for many years. And recently, my husband was relocated to Santa Barbara through his job. Our whole family relocated here. And I started volunteering at different organizations. And I started volunteering for Special Olympics in Santa Barbara, and I loved it. And I just joined as a staff member when an opportunity appeared.
Wonderful. And do you have any attachment as far as, you know, when you started actually just volunteering, do you have actually a connection to a specific community or athletes?
I started volunteering many years ago. I just love being a part of this community. I find that they are very loving. They're very inclusive. And that's what made me gravitate to being part of this organization.
So how has the pandemic shifted all of your programming? And I'm sure it's actually really shifted how you manage fundraising and volunteer work. What has COVID-19 done to the Special Olympics?
We've had to completely pivot our MO, our way of doing business, our way of running our organization. We have no in-person programming in terms of events or fundraising. It's been very difficult for our athletes. For many of Special Olympics is more than just sport. It's their social life. It's their friends. It's everything that they do to stay connected with the community. So we've had to pivot, and now we offer virtual programs for them. Through their virtual programs that we offer, we call it our healthy lifestyle. And we offer fitness programs. These are virtual events that they can log on, and they're live through Zoom, or they can view them on YouTube once they've been recorded. We have hydration and nutrition virtual classes. We have mindfulness classes. We also have social events. I hold Wednesday Zoom where we do bingo or Jeopardy. We've gone on virtual tours. This last week, we went on a virtual safari. 2 weeks ago, we went on a virtual trip of DC. And we're trying different things to keep our athletes engaged. In terms of fundraising, we have started unified bingo experiences with different corporations and different community groups. Our athletes play bingo with the community. Money is raised. Corporations have given us some donations. So we're actively seeking those opportunities with our community.
And how about volunteers? Do you still seek volunteers to help you even through virtual programming?
Absolutely. I would love to find a very energetic and fun bingo caller for our bingo experiences. I would love to find people that are willing to make phone calls to check in with our athletes to see how they're doing, to send them a birthday card, to send them just a card to say, hey, we know that you're isolated right now, but we're here for you. We have a number of activities that we could include and do with more volunteers.
Tell me a little bit about the history of the Special Olympics. Pre-COVID, what would you be doing right about now?
So pre-COVID, we would be running about 231 events a year. And these are in-person events. These are not, I think many people think that Special Olympics is a one-time a year event. We are year-round. We offer programming throughout the year. In Ventura County, we have about 700 athletes. And when we have about 200 active volunteers, and we're running sports, as I mentioned, all year round. And so now this is different. This is definitely a different situation for us.
So I actually just saw in the news, I think yesterday, that some sports are going to start reopening in certain counties. Obviously, we have to follow protocol. The numbers have to go down. It also has to do whether or not there's much touch in that particular sport. And of course, it has to be an outdoor sport. Do you have a path for recovery for any specific sport that might be first to actually come back for your athletes?
Yeah, that's a great question. We actually have a phase program where we're going to start phasing our programming back in. However, we don't project that that's going to start till after June 30th. And again, it's all fluid. Depending on what the CDC recommendations are, our community is of athletes with intellectual disabilities is high risk. We have to make sure that they're safe, that our volunteers are safe, that our staff is safe. So the phase of re-entering in-person sports is, I'm not real sure that we can say with certainty, oh, we're going to start on this date, because we adhere to whatever the CDC is saying. Once we do start going back into in-person programming, it's going to be in increments. So maybe we'll start with 10 athletes at a time. And you have to understand, this is huge for us, because to give you a perspective of how many athletes we could have at one event, when we do the basketball tournament at the Thunderdome at UCSB, we could have like 500 people there. To say that we're going to start with 10, you know, that's a huge difference. But the idea that we are on a track to possibly start is reassuring, even if it's just with small clusters at a time. Once we do start, you know, people will say, well, why do you need funding right now if you're doing everything virtually? Well, we need to print catalogs for remote athlete participation so that they have instruction on what to do at home. Once we do start, we will need personal protection equipment to have on hand so that we make sure that everything is sanitized and that everybody is safe. We need to have fitness kits sent out to our athletes now so that if they're home, they can have that stretch band and the pedometer and whatever it is they need to stay active.
What has COVID-19 done mostly to impact either your organization or the athletes or both?
I think the not coming together is huge. Athletes feel disenfranchised, athletes feel lonely, athletes have a void that, you know, is very difficult for some of them to understand, like why this is happening. I have an athlete, you know, not one, but I have a number of athletes, but one that comes to mind right now. Valerie calls me just about every other day to say, I really want to go swimming. Can I go swimming now? And it saddens me. She wants to go swimming, no matter how often I explain to her that we want her to go swimming, but that we can't right now. She doesn't understand. And that's hard, because I think at times she must feel that maybe she did something and then we're not allowing the swimming to happen. Those are difficult situations for us to take. As staff, we miss our athletes. This is, you know, they are the reason why we're here. And interacting with our athletes energizes us. It validates the purpose that we're doing something great that enhances and enriches the lives of these individuals. And so we miss them terribly. And so that's hard. As a development manager, not being able to raise the funds that we need to keep this organization stable and providing all the needs that our athletes have and all the equipment, that's hard. It's very hard.
So the disconnect with the athletes and the programming, and they're, you know, maybe feeling like they're losing some of their skills and not understanding. Do you have any kind of counseling programs that you're offering, or like roundtable sessions where they can just get together? I know that you said you have some online programming, but what about just, you know, talking and really working out feelings?
So what we do is we have with our mindfulness, the mindfulness focuses on self-awareness, on just different aspects of mindfulness, so that those classes offer skills to our athletes to kind of cope. When I have the Wednesday night Zoom athlete engagement meetings, we do have about 10 minutes of breakout rooms where we break them off into 4 or 5 athletes in a room. And there they discuss, they share. On Thursdays at 11, we have another Zoom where they just come together and they can chat and talk about anything they want. Coaches are invited. And so, yeah, we try to provide forums for them to come together and to share how they're feeling. Here's a challenge we have. Not athletes have access to internet. Not all athletes have a computer, a smartphone. So when I say to you, yeah, we need volunteers. We need volunteers to help us make phone calls to reach those athletes that can't come to us via Zoom, via watching something on YouTube.
So our community has a history of definitely coming together in the time of need. You know, November 2018, we faced a tragedy at Borderline.
Right.
The very next day, Woolsey fires. It continues. And now with COVID-19, and there's a lot of donations for food pantries. Do you feel like organizations like yours are being overlooked right now because of other needs and challenges with vaccines, schools reopening? Or do you feel like everybody's just kind of at a standstill? Everybody understands you're still receiving some recognition, contributions. What is your biggest ask right now?
I think our biggest ask is just help us continue to provide our mission or to fulfill our mission, which is to go out there and to offer individuals with intellectual disabilities a forum where they can feel they belong, they are not going to be judged, where it's safe. I do think that we've been impacted with COVID-19 because so many other issues are happening. As you mentioned, food pantries. We have had organizations that have donated to us in the past say to us, we can't this year because we're going this route. And I get it. I get it. This is a horrible time that we're living in. It's very difficult. We're being pulled in a lot of directions, and there's great need in a lot of areas. I would love to see donations come our way so that we can continue to do what we do. I would love to see our community come together in volunteering and supporting our athletes. It's just difficult.
So tell us how we can make donations. Let's start there.
Yeah, if you would like to make a donation, I would recommend that you go to www.sosc.org and you can donate there. There is a drop screen where you can actually find Ventura County and you can donate so that you make sure that your donations stay within the footprint of Ventura County. You can reach out to me directly, Goretti Ortiz, and my email is gortiz@sosc.org, and gladly take a donation over the phone.
How about youth organizations? You know, there's a lot of youth organizations that are also just, you know, Zooming and doing meetings. I'm thinking of, like, you know, maybe the Girl Scouts. other organizations. Is that something you would welcome if leaders of those other organizations would connect with you also to kind of enhance some online activities and communities and building those relationships, almost like a big brother, big sister kind of program? You know, just all of these organizations are looking for or creating their own online communities, but how about also coming together to support others?
Absolutely. Want to give a shout out to the Ventura County National Charity League. They have been awesome in writing cards, greeting cards to our athletes. We've had universities, Pepperdine and Princeton. I know they're not necessarily within our community, but athletes from those universities, we had a unified pen pal program and they wrote letters to our athletes. And it was a wonderful experience. Our athletes were very, very excited to receive correspondence from another athlete or from a community member from the National Charity League. We welcome those opportunities to come together, which is why I really want to emphasize that the Unified Bingo experience is a wonderful way for us to fundraise in a fun way. Invite us to your church group or your women's group, and we'll come, we'll play bingo. And if anybody wants to make a donation, we'll gladly take it.
I think that's wonderful. So I want to close with, you know, being able to visualize your community coming back together. So tell us what that might look like when the community has the health green light to gather, whether it's, you know, smaller groups or larger, and we can do something either inside or outside. And what might that look like for you? What kind of celebration? How are you going to bring the athletes together? Give us a little bit of a picture of maybe what's on your checklist of, you know, everything is kind of green light, ready to go. How do we bring everybody together?
I think we're going to bring them all together as we open up, as I mentioned before, in small groups. And we are going to continue to grow that. And we're hopeful that by 2022, then we'll be able to see larger gatherings, larger events. I would love to say that we're going to have this phenomenal grand opening and we're going to have hundreds come and we're going to celebrate and it's going to be fantastic. I don't see that happening. We have to be very, very careful because, as I mentioned before, the health and the well-being of our athletes, our volunteers, and our staff is very, very important to us.
Any final words that you want to make sure that we mention to our audience? Any major fundraisers, perhaps?
Definitely, we are looking for opportunities to connect with our corporate partners. Presently, we have a Move Across California event. It's a walking experience. Anyone can join it, or anyone can donate to our Move Across California. And that is just, you can find it at www.sose/MAC. And you can just donate to our cause of, we are encouraging our athletes to walk 1,000 miles in a 6-week period, which is about 3 miles a day in groups of 10. So it's, and anybody can create a team. Anybody can join us and walk and make a donation to that.
Oh, I love that. Okay. So it's Move Across California.
Yes.
And it's how many miles?
It's 1,000 miles, a virtual 1,000-mile walk. And you just do it in your own neighborhood, wherever it is you go, use your pedometer. And we encourage teams of 10 to make it feasible, which means that each member of that team walks about 3 miles a day. And you're welcome to just join a team or just come and make a donation.
I think that's wonderful. What's the time frame you're looking at for that?
Well, we started February 2nd and we're going to end March 13th.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah. So that's something you just do independently, support the cause, get together in small groups, of course, to help support each other. And you can kind of push that, just keep that awareness going. And, you know, for the athletes, they get out, they walk, they get some exercise, and that's kind of reconnecting in your community. I love that.
Yes.
Goretti, take me back to your first connection with the Special Olympics.
So it was summer games, mid-80s, and I was a UCSB student, and I was down volunteering at UCLA, and my then boyfriend said he wanted to join me. So we arrive, and we had a group of about 10 men, athletes, and our job was to make sure they were having a good time and to chaperone them from their different events that they were going to participate in. And my boyfriend, when the music started and the athletes started to dance and I started to dance and now the athletes want to dance, my boyfriend at the time was a engineering student at UCSB and he did not dance. So when the athletes want to dance with him, he did not seem like he wanted to participate. So he kind of nodded like, no, thank you. And I went over to him and I said, listen, we're here to ensure that these athletes have a good time and they don't know that you're here just to watch. So you're either going to get up and dance and have a good time or you need to go. And he said, well, I guess I have to get up and dance. And he did. And I realized at that point, this is a guy that I can marry. This is a person that is willing to be vulnerable and step outside his comfort zone to make sure that the athletes are having a good time. And that meant so much to me. And we've been married 30 years now. We have 5 children. And it's been great.
And it's important that we all have a good time, including, you know, those who are watching. And you found an amazing connection through that moment, which is incredible. And it's now taken you to marriage. And I'm sure that he has some involvement with the organization now, or at least supporting you.
He supports me. He supports me. His job now keeps him very busy, so he's unable to participate, but he definitely is a huge supporter.
So going back to having a good time, I know you've talked a lot about virtual programming. Are the athletes still having a good time?
Absolutely. We try to engage our athletes through various means, but the Zooms, the virtual programming, it's important for us that our athletes, our volunteers, and our staff are having a good time, that they're engaging, interacting, and supporting one another.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Guretti, for being with me today and telling us a bit about the organization and the athletes and how to support you. And I do hope that we can all start pulling together and helping with your fundraising and also be able to get those athletes back in pools and courts and gyms and, you know, back to normal. I know we want that for ourselves as well in our community, but I'm so glad that you were able to do some pivoting for sure and get some online activities going. And this move across California sounds like a great way to do it right now. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Lori. It's a pleasure being here.
Thank you so much for listening today. And please subscribe to our podcast so that you can be alerted each time we drop a new episode. For bonus content, be sure to join us as a member and receive Green Room Diaries, After the Final Cut, Confessions of a Canoe Valley Mom, as well as our exclusive wellness workshops. From one parent to another, we've got this. Just believe in yourself and remember, we're our own worst critics. Tell yourself and another that they're doing a good job.